हरि ओ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, continuing the Chaitanya Nyaya Sutras, page 12 here. Discussion leading to the final ascertainment, vada, means determination of truth through the arguments offered by more than one party. Like, as if you're just discussing with yourself, that wouldn't be vada, even though you can have a really good, lively discussion. But it's not, that's just contemplation, right? Each trying to establish its own thesis, ending in the ascertainment of one of the positions contended. It is mentioned separately because the employment of vada yields the knowledge of truth. However, debating only for the sake of winning an argument, jalpa, and debating simply by pointing out defects in the opponent's thesis, vitanda, differ from vada in certain respects. Footnote 8. If the same person raises various positions in order to establish one critically, will not be considered a case of vada, but rather simply tarka, right? So you're showing you have so many different options, and well, this could be this, and that could be that, and what about this, and this and that, and this is good for here, but it's not there, and that's just tarka. So that won't be considered vada, because vada means you're trying to get to the truth. Here you're just trying to figure out which are the options. So some people, that's all the discussion will be. You know, oh, but it could be this and that. Yeah, so this and that. Yeah, but then what about that? And, you know, so they're not trying, they don't have a thesis. They're not trying to understand. But at the same time, they're not necessarily arguing. It's just not vada. Right? You know, because as we understood, vada being, that's the essence of, you know, yeah. Okay. According to Gotama, vada means a debate compromising of more than one party. In other words, vada is the form of debate in which two contending parties argue in favor of their own positions. But here it may be objected that vada in this sense would also include vitanda. Therefore, Vatsyayana adds, each trying to establish their own thesis. However, in the case of the vitanda, contestant Pratibhadi does not try to establish any thesis of his own, and thus it differs from vada. But it may be objected, again, such a definition of vada will not exclude the possibility of japa being included in vada. Hence, Vatsyayana further adds, ending in the ascertainment of one of the positions contended. In the case of japa, the only aim of the contestants being the achievement of victory over the other by any means. The debate has no intent of ascertaining the final knowledge of truth. Right, so vada means you have the discussion is both have theories, both are trying to in the discussion establish their theory, but at the same time is you're trying to come to what's the actual truth. Right? If they're just trying to argue to win and that's all, and they'll do anything to win, they have a theory, but then then that will be jalpa. But now if they just doubt everything you say and argue with it, anything you say they'll argue with it, but they don't have a theory themselves, that's the vitanda. So we see it's like journalists, they're vitandis. They never present their own because then they would be looking to be biased. But at the same time, they'll attack everything you say. It doesn't matter which side you say, they'll attack it. Why that's not biased? You know, everybody's wrong, so that's a bias. So they don't try to ascertain the truth. They don't say, okay, you say, okay, what is your opinion on this? And then you say, they don't say, well, what do you mean by that? Or what do you want to do with that? They don't take it forward. They just attack it. And then if you try to adjust that, they'll attack that. And then you make something else, they attack that. Or give an example, they'll attack. That's all. So that's Vitanga. They have no theory, or at least they won't present it. You know, they just like to argue.
Interesting how Srila Prabhupada dealt with journalists and that kind of people, those who attacked him. And then, I mean, he had really strong logical arguments. But then he, you know, like right away, he figured it out. It's not going anywhere. So then he fought back. He said, okay, so what is your idea of God? Or what is your idea of name of God? Or what is, just throwing it
right back to them.
Right back to them. And then they say, well, we basically, because they were not ready for that. We basically don't. Then he said, therefore you take Krishna consciousness, or therefore you take name of Krishna, or therefore you should follow us. And then they were like, disarmed completely. Yeah. So this is, I mean, if you ask them, and if they do have, then there's a discussion.
Yes.
Like debate or something.
Yes, yes.
But if not, then they should, if they don't have anything, then they should accept yours, because otherwise, you know, at least I've got something. Like,
yeah, at least a start.
Yeah, it's already better than you have nothing. So Srila Prabhupada was like really expert and bringing it to his personal level, like addressing the person.
Yeah.
Which was...
Okay, yeah. Rather than just their an antagonist, you would deal with the person.
Yeah.
That's even more important.
Instead of theorizing, you know, and going, you know, all over the place, okay, what is your personal opinion about it? What is your life position?
Yeah, it gets them to think. It takes them out of their occupation into their person.
Yeah.
You switch them from varna to ashram.
Yeah. And then it's already a different vibe completely.
Yeah.
But unless you study those things, you don't understand. It just naturally, because we love Srila Prabhupada and we think, yeah, he's the great, he's the hero, he's the champion.
Yeah.
But now we understand how he does it.
Yeah, how he's the champion. Yeah. No, it's far out. As we go, and you start to understand, even whatever little bit we've caught from it, you already start to see it being applied. And the more you go, the more you see.
Just this morning when I was coming, I just met a young guy, and then he was first asking me some questions. Then he revealed he has a master's degree in yoga.
And master's degree in yoga?
And he's a yoga teacher himself. And then he was like discussing, and few questions he was asking, then he was pointing out. But I could observe in the whole discussion, he was giving more respect to me because I was, you know, a full-time practitioner, and then he's like doing it as an occupation. So in all these discussions also, finally, those who practice the theory, what they say, always, like, you know, have a much clearer stance and
always win.
Always win. That's how Prabhupada, in another sense, he had that strong.
Practitioners always win.
Yeah. And people respect.
So in other words, practitioners are the house.
Of course. We practice what we sell.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Otherwise, it would have gone in a different direction. Your one versus my one, and one. But you accept it, and I could also easily quote all the shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita, and it was good.
Okay.
In the Bengali, it suffice.
Oh, okay. Discussion leading to the final ascertainment, vada, and debating only for the sake of winning the argument, jalpa. are useful in arriving at a conclusion, nirnaya. But the usefulness of destructive criticism, debating simply by pointing out defects in the opponent's thesis, vitanda, has to be examined. Well, that's interesting. Destructive criticism. That's it, because we don't mention that. I think that's a very good... we have here the irrational reasoning. You could also put, you know, destructive criticism. Because that makes it very clear. And wrangling, then it's... just to win. Okay.
I think also devotees, they use the term constructive criticism, but they don't really understand what it is, what's the meaning of the term. So it is destructive as such for them, and it's offensive to the opposition.
Yeah.
But otherwise, just name it.
Yeah, you give it a nice name and suddenly now it's fabulous.
And it's like, well, don't be upset with me. It's
constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. It says, how is it constructive?
Yeah.
And then you just do like what you say probably.
You're not the first one. Ethnic cleansing is also something.
That was fabulous, you know. Who doesn't like the ethnicity is nice, cleansing is nice, clean is good, so.
The first slogan was, give the dog a bad name and hang it. Now, give it a good name and hang it.
Give the bad dog a good name. Eh? Okay, footnote 9. Vada means that form of debate between the preceptor and the disciple which is not prompted by the desire of victory, but has for its sole purpose the determination of truth. Jalpa means the form of debate in which both parties are prompted by the desire of victory, seek to prove their own thesis and disprove that of the opponent. Vitanda means that form of debate where one, prompted by the desire of victory, tries only to refute the thesis of the opponent without seeking to establish any thesis of his own. So in other words, the jalpa can be useful because it can be just two people are... These like what Prabhu was saying here, you have the master's in yoga, and then you have the devotee who's a practicing yogi. Is the other one, it's an occupation, it's an academic degree. So then there's some respect there. So then you can have a discussion that'll be proper with Vada. A jalpa also can, if they're both arguing their points, as long as they're wanting to, the weakness is they're wanting to win rather than find the truth. But in doing that, you could come out, and by in that, you can come up with. I mean, I've seen myself, what do you call it? You know, the traditional brahmachari arguments on the veranda after, you know, how you say, after the evening artik or evening prasad, they're, you know, absolute waste of time, but somehow or another they're very important. And, you know, you go for 1, 2, 3 hours, and you're both arguing two sides very strongly and arguing this and that, but with time you start to notice, because everybody starts to adjust the angle of which they're saying or using different terminology, until at one point, bingo, you find out they're saying the exact same thing you are, just they use different words and you have a different connotation of those words and them of yours, so then you fuck for 3 hours when you are both saying exactly the same thing.
That was the pre-internet era. Now it takes years to realize that you're talking the same stuff, reading on those comments.
Because people just type. They don't think. Very gracious.
No, they read what somebody else
says. Yeah, but then they just react. So it's just like animals reacting to other animals reacting and stuff. You know, they're talking about, you know, somebody did a nice concert, you know, you call this a concert? What do you mean? Well, what do you call a concert? This goes and it takes up, and then there's nobody discusses about actually the point anymore.
And also the computer. You think of writing something, but when you write, you change it a little bit because you don't have the ability to write exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're writing, the computer wants to write it in its own way. Autotype, this, that.
Yeah.
It comes out even differently.
Yeah. Especially if you're not watching, you're just typing.
Yes. would it be a good technique, Maharaj? Because I've came across, you know, so often this kind of, you know, useless discussion. So people just want to, because it's a certain energy is flowing,
yeah,
and people, people feed off that energy. Yeah. So even if it's a complete nonsense or it's a, it's not philosophical, let's say, but it's just so. Can we just say yes, yes, I agree, just to pacify them and just walk away?
That's the whole. That's the whole point of nigrahastana.
Mm.
Is nigrahastana is when you figure out that there's no point of the argument, you just get out of the argument.
So some people will run and follow you. You know, yes, yes, Prabhu, I agree, and then, but they want the energy, but you don't give them that energy, so they are, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it just, it's about the energy. So then, that's when you carry in your bag, let's say, you know, one of those health energy bars or something.
Yes.
You know? And so when you end like that and you see they're falling for the energy, hand them one of those. So this will give you the energy.
This is good.
And you say the pepper spray something.
Yeah, I thought pepper spray or shocker.
That also. But if you're gonna get a shocker, get the one that they use when they're hurting animals. That, you know, the long stick in there.
Oh, yeah,
really
yeah.
powerful.
Oh yeah.
Okay, then you stick to the shorter ones like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the health bars.
The health bars are, how you say,
and it's
non-violent mean.
Yeah, yes. Non-violent, non-cooperation.
Yeah, non-violent, non-cooperation.
Isn't that was Gandhi's? Okay, so you see that they each have kind of there's many factors within it. So just one definition isn't enough. It means there's a central understanding, and depending upon its application, it can be explained in these few ways. Right? So then here it's about, you know, the thesis. Thesis is there, but then there's a doubt on the thesis, so then there's a discussion. Right, and you're coming to them. Then there's two have strong theses and they're arguing with each other, but there is a possibility if they continue the process properly, they may come to an understanding rather than just somebody winning. And then but the third one, Vitanda, that doesn't have any value at all. You know? Does that make sense? It just doesn't matter. So that would be the thing, because there's no thesis. They're just arguing to argue. Same time as then here is mentioning about there's that respect that's there. In the Vada, well, the Jalpa, you may not have that. You know, I mean, there's decorum, but it's not necessarily you respect the other person. Is that, yeah?
Huh?
Oh, okay. Among these, you know, this would be the kind where you connect them.
Yes.
Put the indent, but connect them, because then you think that it's otherwise, because the other have the gap. It's mm-hmm. Among these, the usefulness of Vada and Jalpa have the purpose of establishing some positive thesis is indisputable. But the utility of Vitanda is under dispute. Vitanda, being merely fault-finding, is considered by some as useless. It does not seek to establish anything, and the mere refutation of others cannot be considered as serving any positive purpose. That is why, to show the purpose. Why can't I say this? This is so weird. Purposiveness.
Yeah.
Okay, because you have to move the what do you call it, the emphasis, because in English you have the emphasis, and if you put it in the wrong, because I was trying to put it earlier and just didn't, purposiveness of Vitanda too. But Shaina says Vitanda is being examined. This examination means to determine whether Vitanda serves any real purpose. So it doesn't serve a purpose, you know. If need be, if somebody's just doing that to you, you could do it back to them, and if it would create the environment in which they would start to behave properly, then you could do. But the point is that then you're just finding fault in theirs, and they'll keep finding fault in yours. But if you do like what he said, Srila Prabhupada, it's that they're just arguing because they don't have anything. Like you said, the journalists and all, they don't have. But as soon as you ask them what is their theory, then you've already brought it at least up to Jalpa and Vada. You dropped it out of the Vitakta. You know, like that. And because as you make it personal about them and what they feel, then they'll, you know, get more involved and feel it's not just a job, it's the, you know, their own feeling.
The utility of the kindness for that person,
just
to bring the other person back to either of the two.
Okay. Yeah. Because these others, these negative ones, you can use it to bring it back to Vada, and or at least Jalpa. But the point, because there, then it brings out what's their theory, and then it breaks. But much of the time, you can identify it. Because the thing is, if you can identify something, you know what you can do with it. If you can't identify it, it becomes harder to know what to do, because then it's just emotions and this and that. A Vaikhandika is one who employs mere destructive criticism. Destructive criticism, that was a good word. There's also another word they said. Fault finding. How can that be? Put fault finding, destructive criticism, and put those in the line, because then you start to catch them. When questioned about the purpose of his argument, if he admits that such and such is his thesis or document, he has to surrender his role as a Vaitandika. If he does not admit this, he is neither a lay learner, a Laukika, nor an expert. Parikshaka. So then it's either he doesn't know and he's questioning, or he actually has a thesis. Right? Because then, kind of in the Vada, you have someone who's senior, someone who's junior, and it's going nicely like that. And you have two that feel they're senior, that will be more than Jalpa. So he either has to present a thesis, like he did there, so that's what Prabhupada did. He just used this aspect from Vatsyayana, but just that. Then you add, what's your thesis? So you take it out of that, back into the other. And then by doing that, then they'll generally start this, when they start the thing, they'll see is they don't have much. So then it will turn into someone who's more general and someone who's more knowledgeable. So that's what he said, the mood completely changes, because they changed the what style they were using. Propositions without any positive thesis to prove constitute vitanda. If these propositions are claimed to be meaningful, then the meaning itself constitutes his positive thesis. And so then he has to say, oh no, but it has some positive meaning, like constructive criticism. Okay, so that being constructive, you know, is the thesis. Because you can't say criticism is a thesis, you know, because that fault finding is not a thesis. So it must be the constructive aspect is the thesis. You know. On the other hand, if this is not admitted, the propositions become meaningless, like mere delirium, and as such, the essence of vitanda is destroyed. And so, if they have no meaning, then what's the point of your saying all these things? It won't get anywhere. So, in other words, vitanda has to be stopped. So, that is because of his utter purposelessness. He would be considered a lunatic. Doesn't mean he can't hold down a job, it just means he's a lunatic. Right? So that way, then you ask him, well, what's the purpose? You're saying all these points, what's your purpose? And you say, well, I was trying to find the truth. And then that's where you go into it. So then what's your opinion? What's the truth? You just start asking questions. And then you get back, and at some point you figure out, you know, they figure out. It means if they don't figure out, but everybody else figures out, then you've run there. You just try to take it back. So, footnote 10. For proving the utility of Itanda, Vatsyayana refutes an ancient school of extreme skeptics. The representative of the school claims to have no positive thesis of his own, mere refutation of the opponent being his only purpose. As against such a position, Vatsyayana argues that even a skeptic like this has to admit the following four. 1. The person who communicates. 2. The person to whom is communicated. Right? So it means that there's two people. Somebody's speaking something, someone is hearing it. You know, it can reverse, and the other speaking in there, so there's always that too. Right? 3. The means of communication. And 4. The theme communicated. Right? So his theme is that to simply refute the argument. So that's his thesis. One who admits the above has got to accept these as forming one's own thesis. Therefore, he cannot be a Vaitandika in his own sense, namely that he has no thesis whatsoever. Right? So the first thing is when they say there's no thesis, so they act like that, you just bring to the point of what is their thesis. Because you have to, somebody's communicating, you're speaking, I'm listening, or I'm speaking, like, so there's two people here. There is a means of communication, so we're using verbal context and words and that and that. And then, what is your purpose of doing that if it's only to defeat the other person or to find fault in them, actually? Then that's your thesis. So then that's all the more you have in this. All you're adding to this discussion is fault-finding without anybody to do it. Why do we need... Why do people have to pay you such a big salary and spend so much money on all this when every person anywhere, you know, sitting at home, driving their car to work, can do the same thing? Why do they have to pay you? You know, and if it's that, well, it keeps them busy. So then you're an entertainer, and your method of entertainment is finding fault in others. So therefore, you take pleasure in finding fault in others, and this way, then you're superior, and then others can have a laugh about it. You know, so it's the same as bullies on the street. Somebody walks down the street, and guys that are big, they're like, ah, look at the small guy. So then you're just a bully, and then you're trying to make an occupation out of it. You know, when you say all these things, then they'll at least at some point, at least generally, will have to come to the point of truth. Because that's how they sell themselves, just looking for the truth. So then define the truth. So. The opponent may argue that everything according to him is absolutely non-existing. And everywhere there is only the illusion of the absolutely non-existing appearing as the existing. The illusion of the absolutely non-existing appearing as the existing. As such, so this is extreme skeptic. As such, the person who communicates, the person whom is communicated, etc., all equally illusory, and hence there cannot be any question of these forming his own thesis. But such a claim cannot be consistent with the opponent's basic claim that the mere refutation of the opponent is the only purpose of his vada, of his vitanda. Right? So the vitanda is to just refute the opponent, just break down whatever he's saying. It's not to establish anything. Does that make sense? So that whole it's called vitanda, but it's also an item in itself. A vitanda. Is when you do that. So I'm saying it's like a tarka, when you analyze the different options and which one to look at. Does that make sense? You know, so each of these has the meaning, word itself has a principle. Like that. Then you can apply the activity. That's why you can see is that there may be different aspects or layers of the application, but the principle is the same. Does that make sense? You know, you're just refuting. There's no, and by the person can't has nothing more to say than in that way you win. But its only point is refutation. You didn't win, you just refuted. The other one is then to win, the jalpa, but the vada is to find the truth, the conclusion. Does that make sense? So if in the course of jalpa, it comes to the point where you actually try to find the truth, then it works out. It turns into vada. But if it's just a win, it just stays as jalpa, because you can't say that you actually got anything. You know, in the Vitanda, you can put that back to jalpa. At least then you have it partly. It could be taken to vada. So in other words, vada is what you want to get to.
Definitely.
Yeah, especially at 9 o'clock in the morning.
It's that prayoga.
Yes, it's important. So, okay. But such a claim cannot be consistent with the opponent's basic claim that the mere refutation of the opponent is the only purpose of his pitanda. For such a refutation would be equally illusory for him, and as such would not form his purpose. Because if it's all illusion, then you're discussing it and finding fault is illusion. So you say you found a fault and you're actually accomplishing something, but it's all illusion. So whether you argue or not, or you know, you go stand in your head in the corner while balancing a pumpkin on your feet, there's no difference. In short, even such a skeptic has to admit the reality of the theme he communicates. In other words, his refutation. Right? So he's... Yeah. And therefore, the person who communicates, the person to whom is communicated, etc., have got to be admitted as forming his thesis. This means that the purpose of his vitanda is actually to prove his own thesis. But Shyanik finally concludes by saying that since meaningless propositions are but delirious, even the opponent will have to admit that his propositions are meaningful. Because otherwise, if there's no meaning, what's the point of you even talking? You're just wasting your time, everybody else's time. So it's a complete waste. He says, no, it's a value. Then that means you have to have a thesis. You're saying his finding fault is a value. So that's his thesis. Fault finding is a value. So then prove that fault finding is actually important. Because he just argues with you, but now he has to prove what he's saying. It's like, again, you take it back to the person. What then can be the meaning of the Vaitandika's propositions? The fallacies, doshas. Oh. So it's vadas against doshas.
Oh.
Well, this is South Indian conspiracy.
Yes, yes. You see, there's all the, you know, you find out that they're all from south, right? He points out in the opponent's arguments. Okay, the fallacies, doshas, he points out in the opponent's arguments will constitute his thesis. Therefore, it cannot be claimed that Vitanda is without any thesis whatsoever. So he's got some point. You know, so otherwise he'll have to admit, like the journalist, he'll have to admit that he's just trying to, you know, he has to make a show, because if there's no argument and this and that, no one will watch his channel. I remember there was one talk show in America where this guy, all he did is invite people in the show and then rip them to shreds. That's all he did. And it was a super popular show. Like that. He doesn't accomplish anything. All he does, he's just a Vaitandika. But he's really aggressive. You know, and really confident and in your face and like that. And so people like the confidence and this and that, you know. And, you know, finding fault in others always makes you feel better and all that. But then when Prabhupada went to him and he said he had studied, you know, he does his homework. So he studied and saw that, you know, if everyone's joining the temple and no one's, you know, paying attention to their parents and all that. So he said, so what do you think of, you know, the American, you know, family or something like this, like that, because he knows that he's going to, he can still say something. He says, well, actually, he says, you know, the parents here are very good. The quality of the his students that come, you know, they're young, but they're so intelligent, they're so dynamic. That means good parentage, you know, like that. So then, yes, like this. And then God had nothing to say after that. So he prepared his whole thing to attack him. And so then he says, okay, so then, you know, what does he do from that? He says, okay, so what do you guys do? And then he spent the whole hour, you know, just talking Krishna pleasantly, talking about Krishna consciousness, what they do and everything. So Prabhupada is another one. He just defeated the Vaitandika by presenting something that he knows what he's against and what he's arguing. He just presents something that he would have to agree with. And so his whole argument, you know, his whole attacking angle goes away. Because they always have some thesis. So Prabhupada just found that and then gave that and what do you call it? Flattered that and then there you go. So it's the same thing you see. Very expert. Well, actually, I have to say master. Because he does. See, an expert, you know they're expert. But a master is so good that you don't know that he's an expert. You just think of it, Prabhupada, yeah, he talks well.
Yes.
Very good, thank you. Okay, so where were we? Okay. The logical fallacy, Hetva Bhasha, is mentioned over and above the point of defeat that occurs when one misunderstands his own statements or doesn't understand other statements, Nigrahastha, because this is to be employed in Vada, while Nigrahasthanas are only employed in Jalpa and Vitagda. So, in other words, he's making distinguish here because the Heta Bhasha could be taken as it's Nigrahasthana, because what they're saying doesn't make sense. But it could still be used because they have a theory. They don't understand, they're not presenting it nicely, or they've given a wrong example or a wrong logic, you know, a wrong tarka or something. But it's different from Nigrahasthana when they absolutely don't know what's going on. There's no connection between anything. It's just here you could just have used the wrong presentation. And so then you can still point out the fallacy there and get it back on track. Does that make sense? Yeah. Footnote 11. The purpose of Jalpa and Vitanda is to defeat the opponent at any cost. And as such, fault finding in any form is permissible in these cases. But Vada is a form of logical discourse between the preceptor and his disciple without the eagerness of any defeat to defeat the other. Right? So you're presenting, but you're not trying to defeat. You're just trying to come to the truth. So you're presenting. If the other person then is presenting some points, then you're going to consider those. Right? But in Jalpa, you just want to win. Whether you're right or not, that's another thing, but you won. So you're not trying to find out the absolute truth. So does that make sense? So the one is you're trying to find out the absolute truth. The second, you're only trying to win. The third one, you're also trying to win. But it's not as much winning as just defeating the other person. Right? Because if you defeat the other person, then technically you've won. But in a debate, winning means establishing your thesis. They don't have one, so it's a little superficial.
It's interesting, we took a course on rhetorics.
Rhetorics?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of theory, but the last part of it was debate. So what I've noticed is that the purpose of that exercise, of the debate, was... And there was an audience of students who actually vote for you or for the opposition.
Okay.
You know, so it was actually nicely arranged. But it wasn't about the cause of arguments. It was how good at arguments are you. So you could they gave some list of things. And then you could choose topic and go for it or against it. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that they didn't teach us how to properly you know, choose the right topic, mm-hmm. but how to argue. So yeah. immediately they dropped on the second level,
yeah.
which was, you know, for the sake of exercise. So also what I've noticed is that, I mean, of course we won, you know, the whole thing.
No, I see when you went. Okay.
But then, what it comes down to is that how fast and clever you are, how fast your system works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think, and how clever means how you can see fault and this and that.
Also,
and
how aggressive you are, and how you cut them off and don't let them speak and all that.
Yeah. So this was all about that.
Because they say logic and rhetoric. I'm not exactly sure how far in the logic they go, because I think the avayavas, they only use three.
Yes, three.
You know?
Yeah.
So they don't actually they don't understand the process inside. You have the thesis, antithesis, and then you have the synthesis. But the problem is, how do you do that synthesis? There isn't one. There isn't technically, you know. And in here, since you're trying to find the absolute truth, you're taking the background of this, because this rhetoric is coming from the academics, and their whole point is this, you know, being the inductive. They say they're looking for the truth, but you can't come to a conclusion. So that means there's no question of them being able to know what Vada is or to teach what Vada is. Therefore, the limitations of a course based on their theory will be very limited, actually, in the Vaishnava circle. I mean, it can be a useful tool in quickening your thinking, so when you're dealing with Vitandis and stuff, you can quickly break down their points and then bring it to the thing. But the point is that would be the maximum value that there is.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any more. So that's the difficulty with rhetoric. It's just about winning the argument. It's just techniques of winning. They say this or use this kind of example. And they've developed it quite sophisticated, from what I understand. You know, all the different ways an example could be used, or all the different things, and how to find fault in it. So basically, it's just using Vitanda to win the argument. And sometimes you can also be very, it's also good, they can make something very clear that they can't say something back. And so then you've also established. So between those two, the Jalpa would be the higher form, Vitandi would be the lower form. Mm-hmm. But if you can defeat theirs through Vitanda, and then make a clever statement on your own in Jalpa, so that they have nothing to say back, then that would be, I guess, from what I can see, is the perfection of modern debate. You know, so the rhetoric is that far, but for finding the absolute truth, then,
yeah.
You know, where do they get their knowledge from? Where do they get, so there's no praman, so then there's, and prameya, what are the prameyas? What are you working with? At least in the Vedic, there's some standard set of prameyas. But here, it's just whatever you feel like. So there's no praman and prameya, and we saw in the beginning that some will say logic is just that. And then here Gotama is saying, and Vatsyayana is supporting that, no, it means it's those two, but these other 14 are in pursuance of that. But they have their own position because of their uniqueness that they add to these two. But here, they're not taking those two at all. You know? Or if it is, it's what their science has decided what it is. It's not standard stuff. You know? So it's only off of what's seen with the senses, or what's speculated, or, you know, like this. So it's not a complete system. You know? So then you're just taking a few of the points.
Yeah, in the beginning, actually, it was established by the facility that there's no, you know, in those kind of things, there's no senior, junior, and it's all relative. So we can't, even if we argue Krishna conscious points, we shouldn't take them as an absolute. So the background is all relative.
Yeah, so it's already, you're already dealing with the mundane. So as Prabhupada says, is people who don't understand the Krishna consciousness, that they shouldn't teach. So in other words, this example of someone who's saying it's all relative and you can't use like that, there's no senior junior or anything, then they are unqualified to teach, as is the other one where going through the whole Gita, and at the end of the Gita, then someone is saying about, you know, but what about, you know, these, you know, the morality and all that, you know, the fighting and that it's bad. And then the teacher says, well, actually, I also think it's bad. So technically, he doesn't agree with 17 chapters of Gita. He should not be teaching. This shouldn't be allowed. And then to create a whole institution that cultures and cultivates and brings people like this with this mentality, and then they're given the position of authority. Because if there's no authority, what's the facilitator's authority to make that statement? Based on what is he saying? It's against the principles of Shastra. How can he say that? This is a discussion of Vaishnavas. He can say, as one side can think like that, but the Vaishnava presenting can think in the absolute. Otherwise, of why are you here? You're unqualified. You're making absolute statements and saying no one else is that, and saying Krishna consciousness is absolute. So then, you know, why are you here? In reality, this is that. It's a disservice to the Vaishnava community, to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no matter what they say. You know, someone who's clever and fixed in devotional service, he could catch some things from here, but it's like picking up gold from a dirty place. Because whoever's leading it, the course itself, is just, it has no value, because it's not connected to Krishna consciousness. They're so-called using it, but it's their own attachment. They think it's valuable. They think that this is how you're going to win arguments. No, who's establishing Krishna consciousness? Because if you defeat them by these methods, great, but it's only when they listen to Krishna consciousness. So you can say, okay, well, this is just for that, but then it should be connected with a course that is about how to present Krishna consciousness. And that they don't have. Because from the modern academy, you can't have it. It's already at a disadvantage. It's already faulty. It means those who are Krishna conscious can maneuver through, you know, this, you know, how do you say, ocean of garbage. You know, it's like out in the ocean, there's that one place in the ocean where all the garbage goes. Kilometers and hundreds of kilometers, like, of garbage. So they can get through that. But otherwise, this kind of approach to education is a disservice to the Vaishnava community and to the Sampradaya. It's absolutely unimportant, because people then start to actually think everything's relative, and they have authority. Because this person taking the position of authority, saying that there's no authority, but being one, is destroying authority. So, as we said before, this slow introduction of destruction of authority started in the 50-man committee in 87, and then, you know, further was done in 94, 95, like that, when they introduced political correctness as the measurement for Krishna conscious discussion and decision. And now you see, now it's about, you know, having degrees, having specific things like that. And it's just step by step, just, you're just taking it back to the mundane consciousness that people came into Krishna consciousness with, unwilling to give up. Now they found an outlet for it, and they can feel that they're advanced in Krishna consciousness, when actually it's just attachment. That's the bottom line. It's just attachment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's very interesting.
He said it looks like in Starbucks, when the public started to press Judas, he said the same thing.
Star
Wars.
Huh?
Star Wars.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. No, it's just, I mean, it's just any of these books, you know, 1984, Brave New World, Animal Farm, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's just the same stuff, same thing. Because the point is if you see a difference between administrators and those who are speaking or the devotees, you look back to Prabhupada. What does Prabhupada say? That's what you should look at. But they don't take it back to Prabhupada. So that means, what's the point? In the name of it's about guru disciple, in the name it's about Prabhupada, it's just about administrators' authority, who are not in the position of administrators. In a sense, the approach is faulty to begin with. Because it's about establishing that, you know, worthy authority, rather than, no, Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, and looked at, they're the authority. So as we bring in line with here, because it's not that authority can't make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. So if they make a mistake, how to bring in the line with Prabhupada? But otherwise, if they know you have to follow that, then that means they have to guarantee they're always right. And so that means if they do anything wrong, they can't admit fault, and so they can't adjust themselves, they can't improve themselves. Because being right is the important thing. So in other words, it takes them to, at best, jalpa. At best. You know what I'm saying? Because most of the time they are arguing, it's vitandi, that they break down authority. But what's the reason for breaking down authority? Because they don't like it. They can't tolerate it. But they love to be one. They will take absolute authority, but they absolutely don't accept anyone else. And lip service is given to Prabhupada, but, you know, if their idea, you know, differs from Prabhupada, then they're being practical and Prabhupada's theoretical. So these things aren't part of any value to anybody. And you see, it's creating great, you know, they say, within the community, so much confusion. People are going off in their own areas. You know, I was talking to someone the other day. They're one thing, they facilitate others and doing, you know, some scars and nice things, that worship like that. And devotees in the community wanted to do demigod worship. You know, worship demigods through the yajna because they feel they'll get a better benefit than chanting or other things. They'll say, oh, it's in support of, but then why not worship Krishna? That's a philosophy. So these things have been allowed to come up from this kind of approach. But the people who are doing it either don't know, and so they're going along, and they sincerely think they're doing a great job, but they're making a mistake. You know, so that's they don't understand the repercussions. Because I talked to one of the founding fathers of all this, what we're talking about here, and that was some time later. What it was. Yeah, maybe 15 years later or something. I think like that. Maybe maximum 20. Somewhere like that, after he started the ball rolling, then he understood. He said, actually what we did was destroy the concept of authority or respect of authority in Islam. But he didn't say, I'm going to fix it. He didn't say, you know, what we can do about it or that. He just realized. In other words, he was talking personal. That, you know, in contemplating that I thought about this, and this is what I thought. So it was a personal realization. So from that side, then, yeah, he figured it out. But he's known as one of the smartest guys in the movement, you know, before. So he figured it out. What about the other, you know, hundreds of thousands of devotees that are affected by it now? So that's why we don't use these methods. That's why we avoid these methods. The karmas are using it. Who's becoming a devotee? In other words, all these political platitudes, all these ways of thinking, all these philosophies and that people have been doing since time immemorial. And every last devotee, you know, who claims to be some kind of thoughtful person was doing these things. Right? But then, they were not satisfied. They became a devotee. So, if it didn't work then, that they had to take up devotional service because there's no satisfaction to the mind, as Sutta Goswami mentions. Why would they think that now, after 50 years, now it has a validity? It didn't work. It's garbage then, it's garbage now. It'll be still garbage tomorrow. So, nitya garbage.
Okay. Hmm? Therefore,
Yeah, so that's the thing they forgot. They become conditioned by the mode of goodness, so they think everything's nice, and then these things bother them. So important. But the things that they're talking now, I have not heard any new political platforms or points made than I heard when I was a teenager before joining. I have not heard any of the senior devotees say anything different than I heard already then, 50 years ago. Nothing, including all this new age stuff, all the health food stuff. These are the same things that I was hearing and practicing when I was 16 years old. 14, 16 years old. Same thing. Hasn't changed one bit. I think, no, it's modern, it's up to date. No, it's not. And where did I pick it up from? From my grandmother. She was talking these things. So that means when she was a kid, she was talking these things. So that means it's nothing new. But they think, oh, it's the latest thing, we have to change with the times. No. You have to do the absolute truth. That's what's necessary. So therefore, you have to do what Lord Krishna Maharaj used to say when dealing in the academic world. And with these things, he called it swanning. Like the swan? The bird? Because the swan, you can give it a bowl with milk and water in it. It can drink the milk and leave the water. He says you have to do that. He says you can't take what they're saying. Does that make sense? Like that. Because otherwise, it doesn't have any... It's material. It's unreal. It's the modes of nature. So one has to be very careful. But you can't say this stuff direct. You have to be very pleasant. Like Prabhupada did at this point. Oh, what is it? Go back. Why? Why does it have to be relative? We're devotees. We're trying to find the absolute truth. We're trying to establish the absolute truth. Why does it have to be relative? You ask them. He won't have an answer because all he did is he didn't know anything about rhetoric. And so then he read the book that somebody put together who studied rhetoric. And then he sang it to you, and then he's the authority. But as soon as you have a question on it, unless he himself, it's one of the modules he did in his undergraduate, then he won't have anything to say. And then, well, why? Why? We're devotees. Why? No, but this is what the course is. We're going to stick to the course. Well, why should we stick to it? If the course is wrong, why should we stick to it? If the basis is wrong, why should we stick to it? We're devotees. Of course, you might not be able to go to any of their ever classes and that again or step on campus, but hey.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.